grab a seat this morning if you'd like to. I want to say a special welcome to you. Those of you who are joining us online this morning, we're excited you're with us today for week number 5 of our series In View. And if you remember, we started this thing off way back the second week of April. And during this series, we have looked at a letter written by a guy named Peter, who his goal was he wanted to write to Jesus followers. He wanted to write to people who called themselves Christians. And he wanted to let them know, everyone who read this letter, and that includes us this morning, that there's an expectation for us to grow and develop as fully devoted followers of Jesus. See, having faith in Jesus, that's the place that we start, but that's never been the place that we're supposed to stop. There's more to the story. And so we've talked about that. We said he gave us some good news that when we say yes to Jesus, that our sins are forgiven. But at the same time, the Spirit of God comes and brings with him everything that we need to live a godly life. And he comes to live within us. And while that's great news, that doesn't mean that we're off the hook. We have work to do. In fact, Peter, he says it this way. He says, you need to work hard to prove that you really are who God called you to be, that you really are a follower of Jesus. We need to work hard and develop those traits. And so we said this in that very first week. The tools that we're given are useless unless we put them to use. Unless we are actively pursuing developing as a follower of Jesus, just because that stuff is in us, it's not going to accomplish what it was intended to accomplish. We must do the hard work of growing and developing and becoming that follower of Jesus. So we started this journey. In the second week, we learned that Peter says, you need to add character to your faith. And that's kind of a strange place to start, or so we thought. The reason that he wanted to start with character is because how we live is so important. Long before someone's ever going to listen to a word that we say, they're going to watch how we live. They're going to view the things that we do on a consistent basis. And so how we live matters. So we made this statement in that second week. We said, character is when a change on the inside changes how I live on the outside. And we ask ourselves a really difficult question. Does my life look noticeably different since I've met Jesus? My life before Jesus compared to my life since I've met Jesus, is there a notable difference? And if there's not, then maybe we have to ask ourselves, have I really met Jesus? Or have I just started coming to church? That's something we have to wrestle with. Because once we meet Jesus, our life is never the same. Never the same. Then we needed to add something to our character. We needed to add knowledge. And this isn't just more information. Anybody can add more information. That's just a part of it. We said it like this in that week. We said, growing in knowledge is knowing God with our head and our heart. We have to know more about him. And as we know more about him, we're going to know him more. We're going to have this revelation of who he is. And both things come through spending intentional, consistent time with Jesus. It's in prayer. It's in studying his word. It's in worship gatherings like this together. But it's not just an hour on Sunday. We're not going to grow and develop by simply coming an hour on Sunday morning. If it were that easy, everybody would do it. But the reality is this. It's a daily process. Daily, intentional, consistent time in God's word, in prayer, in worship, in quiet reflection. Then we learned we needed to add something to our knowledge. We needed to add self-control. And this one's a hard one to add, because sitting around the room, everywhere you look in every direction is a control freak. Every single one of us have that control freak ability in us. We like to hold white knuckled as tight as we can onto the reins of control, because we think, if I control my own life, if I control my own destiny, then I can make things happen the way that I want them to. And so I'm going to hold on as tight as I possibly can. That's not the posture that we come to God with. Adding self-control requires a posture of open hands, saying, God, I'm not very good at being God. I'm not very good at leading my own life. And so take over control. And so we said this last week. Self-control is giving God control for our benefit. It's saying, Jesus, you take it. I can't do it. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not talented enough. I don't have all that I need to be able to guide my own life. And so I'm surrendering it to you. So that's where we've been. I said at the end of last week that where we're going next, this is starting that part of our development where it's about to get difficult, where the intensity level is about to be ramped up just a little bit. And it isn't because those first few attributes are easy. They're difficult. But the reason that it's about to ramp up, the reason the intensity level is going through the roof, is because what we're talking about now just is absolutely not natural. The areas that we're about to dive off into, they don't come easy because it is not in our nature to do it. So what are we adding next? Where are we going from here? How are we going to develop next? If you've got a Bible or a Bible app on your device, I want you to open to 2 Peter chapter 1. And while you're flipping there or you're finding it on your screen, we're also going to take a look this morning at Philippians chapter 4. We're going to look at Psalm 119 and Isaiah chapter 40. So we're going to jump all over the place a little bit this morning. So if you didn't bring a Bible with you, just jot down some notes, because I would encourage you to go home and read it tonight or this afternoon once you have lunch and you know, you chill out a little bit after a nice lunch, maybe take a nap, pick up your scriptures and read through there. So 2 Peter chapter 1, Philippians 4, Psalm 119, and Isaiah 40. Here's what we're going to read. We're going to be able to quote this word for word by the time this series is over. Starting at verse 5. In view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance. Waiting. Enduring difficulties and hardships. When we hear those words, those phrases, our initial immediate response is to push back and say, uh-uh. I don't like that. I don't want to hear that. Don't tell me that I've got to patiently endure anything. That's not what I signed up for. And I understand the world that we live in, this culture that we live in, we suffer from what I'm going to call instantaneous gratification syndrome. If we think it up, we have access to it. You know, if I want to have a certain meal, man, I can go and get it right then. If I want to get something online, I can order it and have it shipped in 2 days. You know, I can order Waiter on the Way and they can bring something to my house. So I don't even have to change out of my pajamas to eat the meal that I want to eat. And I can have it in 30 minutes or less, right? I mean, that's the culture that we live in. And so this whole concept of patiently enduring, it's just foreign. We don't like it. It doesn't make sense. It's weird. No. What's the purpose? What's the point? It's such an old-fashioned, archaic way of thinking. And yet Peter says we need to add that to our faith if we're going to develop into a fully devoted follower of Jesus. But why? Why do we need to add that to our faith? Well, before we look at why, I want us to make sure that we understand what. So I did a little research. I found a couple of dictionary definitions for the words patient endurance. Here's what they say. The fact or power of enduring or bearing pain, hardships, etc. That just sounds fun. I mean, if you put that on a brochure for like a cruise or something, I think everyone would sign up immediately, right? The second one is a lot better. The ability or the strength to continue or last, especially despite fatigue, stress, or other adverse conditions. Yes, I want to live a life that requires me to endure hardships in stressful situations while all kinds of adverse opportunities are coming my way. That's what I want. That's what I'm signing up for. Yes, more of that, please. Said nobody ever. Because none of us want that. I mean, the reality is we all want to be self-preservationists. We want to make sure that we take the path of least resistance, don't we? We want it easy. We want what we want, and we want it now. And we don't have to wait for it. And when we have to wait for it, we lose our minds, don't we? Yeah. We're going to summarize patient endurance in this manner. It's the ability to persevere in the face of difficulty. And that's not natural. That doesn't come easy. That's not normal. What comes normal for us, what's natural for us, is to be full of impatience and to lack endurance. Maybe because we have pulled into this natural bend, this natural line of thinking, maybe that's why the church doesn't look that different from the world that we live in, especially when it comes to divorce rates. Because, man, it's just easier to walk away than it is to stick around. Maybe that's the reason that we read so many people who will quote that, I believe it's Gandhi, who says, "I love your Christ, but I don't like your Christians." Because they talk bad about one another and they blow their top and they're not really quick to just endure and be patient, but instead we're really quick to just blow our minds and say, "You know what? Who do you think you are making me wait in this way? Who do you think you are not giving me what I want when I want it? Who do you think you are?" That's the world that we live in. It's not natural to have patient endurance. Last week we talked about a passage of Scripture, Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. I'll paraphrase it for us here. Paul's writing this letter and he says, there's a war that's going on. He says that the sinful nature wants to do what's evil, which is in opposition to what the Spirit wants. The Spirit wants to do the right thing, and that's in opposition to what the sinful nature wants. These two are constantly at war with one another. They are constantly fighting one another. There's a battle that's going on all around us. And we must make the decision, are we going to lean into what feels natural, what comes easiest, or are we going to lean into the side of the war that's with the Spirit and do the hard stuff and patiently endure? Because here's a truth that maybe we don't want to hear, but it's a truth that we need to hear. What comes natural and what comes easiest is rarely where the Spirit is leading us to go and how the Spirit is leading us to respond. Let me say that again. The way that feels natural, the way that seems to be easiest, that is rarely what the Spirit is leading us to do or where He's calling us to go. We've got this war going on. Which side are we going to land on? We must choose to land on the side of the Spirit, to do those difficult things, to endure difficulties and hardships. But how do we do that? I mean, how is that even a possibility? Well, I'm convinced that there are three key ways that we do this. But before we look at those three key ways, I want to give a biblical definition of what patient endurance is. We gave the dictionary definition. We summed it all up. The biblical definition looks a little bit different. It's trusting God when life is out of control without acting out of control. It's trusting God when there's chaos all around us without letting the chaos consume us, without letting the chaos dictate how we're going to carry ourselves, how I'm going to respond in those moments. It sounds great, but how do we do it? How do we make it happen? I'm convinced there are three things that we can do to make this happen. The first thing we can do is we can breathe. Take a deep breath. Just what happens in those chaotic moments is we find ourselves in the fight or flight mentality. And when we're in the fight or flight mentality, there's a portion of our brain that just kind of shuts down. And we can only respond in one of two ways. We can either run away or we can gear up to fight. And man, isn't that what we naturally do in those chaos moments? Man, it's so easy. I'm about to fight somebody. It's about to go down. I'm going to let somebody have it. Or you know what? I'm going to walk away. I'm done with this. I'm going to wipe my hands and I'm moving on. But when we take a deep breath, the oxygen goes back to our brain. We start to just kind of focus again. Everything begins to clear a little bit. That muddiness that's there, our brain starts to work and function the way that it was intended to work and function again. So stop and take a deep breath. I'm convinced that sometimes the godliest thing that we can do is just stop and take a deep breath. Just breathe. Try it sometime, especially in those difficult moments. It may make a huge difference. And then once we breathe, we pray. Now, Pastor Heath, there is no way I have time to pray when chaos is going on all around me. I would go so far as to say there isn't time not to pray. You don't have the time not to pray in those moments. Because if we try to walk into something and leap into something without first taking that breath and then spending some time in prayer, you can almost guarantee that we're going to make the wrong choice. How can you say that with such certainty? Well, because we're human and because we're born with a sin nature. And that sin nature is powerful unless we keep him under our thumb through the power of the Spirit. And so we pray. We connect with God. There's something that happens. We take that deep breath, and instead of looking around at all the chaos that's swarming around us, we look up instead. And we remind ourselves, I've put my confidence in him. I trust him. He is my Lord. He is my God. And no matter the chaos that is swimming around me, he is in control. And I can trust him. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need, and then thank him for all that he has done. And then what happens? Then you will experience his peace that is greater than anything our minds can comprehend. We can experience his peace that is so much greater than anything that we can imagine. And this peace will guard and keep our hearts and minds as we live for Christ Jesus. One of the greatest examples I have ever seen of this scripture being lived out. Haley and I were either just about to be married or we had just gotten married. It was somewhere in that time frame. I think it was before we were married. Our pastors at the time also had a son named Heath, and he was killed in an automobile accident on his way to work one morning. And we went to the funeral. And I can remember sitting at the funeral, and there was a song that was being sung at the funeral. And this was not just a memorial service. This was a worship experience, let me just tell you. This wasn't, you know, a sad, sad day, and we're just memorializing his life. No, they were worshiping Jesus at this funeral. And it was at about the time that the song I Can Only Imagine by Mercy Me came out. I had never heard the song before. And they're on stage, and one of Heath's best friends was singing this song at his funeral. And in unison, without a word, without looking at one another, without any prior conversation about it, I saw both my pastor and his wife stand to their feet, tears streaming down their face, hands lifted up, worshiping God, saying things like, thank you, Jesus. You are awesome. God, I worship you. I love you. It didn't make sense. They were at their son's funeral. That's the peace that he offers to us. When we pray, when we seek, we let him know what we need. God, I can't do this in my own strength, but I know that you can. And I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to lose my mind. I'm going to look to you, and I'm going to spend time in prayer to you, God. And I'm going to raise my hand and my heart, and I'm going to say, I'm yours. God, I trust you. This isn't what I signed up for, but I trust you. I trust you. Patient endurance is tied closely to trust. They're together. And how we respond in difficult moments, it's a picture to the world around us of the God that we serve. It is a picture to the world around us of who we say we follow and what really matters to us. So we take a deep breath. We pray. Then we read. Now, Pastor Heath, there is no way that in a chaotic moment that I'm going to have time to read God's word. Maybe not. You may be in a situation where you don't have a Bible with you. There's not a Bible on your device. That's why it's so important that you spend time in this every day. And you memorize this every day. You know God's word inside and out. Let me just, you know, make sure that we're all on the same page here. It's okay to write notes in your Bible. It's okay to highlight. It's okay to mark on this. It's okay. Jesus is perfectly cool with that. Just to burst any bubbles that are out there. He is perfectly fine with you writing in your Bible. Take notes. Make note cards. Put them up in the wall. Put them up on the wall. Put them up in your office. Put them in the bathroom when you're getting ready in the morning and you're memorizing scripture. Every time you look in this particular situation, God's word is there and you're reading it and you're putting it not just here, but here. And in those chaotic moments, that's what comes out. Psalm 119, 50 and 52, read this way. My comfort and my suffering is this. Your promises preserve my life. I remember, Lord, your ancient laws. I remember your word. And I find comfort in them. There is a peace that passes understanding. There is a comfort when chaos is surrounding. And it comes to those who patiently endure, those who trust in Jesus. The benefits of patient endurance are twofold. First, the world around us, they see a witness for someone living the life that Jesus has called us to live. And let me just tell you, that's attractive. When the world sees someone who isn't just living for Jesus in name, but living for Jesus in action, that's attractive. And then people ask questions. They want to know, what's different about you? The second benefit is for us. Because when we patiently endure, when we trust in God, our faith grows. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. Another translation reads this way, those who wait on the Lord will be renewed in their strength. Our faith, our strength, our resolve will be solidified. As we wait, as we know that God is there, no matter what's going on, no matter the circumstances or situations, even if hell itself is raging against us, I can be at peace because I trust that He is there and He will never leave me and He will never forsake me, ever. I can trust Him. Patient endurance. It's trusting in God when life is out of control, without acting out of control. This morning, the area of our life that we seem to have that gravitational pull towards operating in the natural, that part of our life where we have the gravitational pull to just wipe our hands clean and say, I quit. Or to blow our top, to lose our cool, to just lose it all together. In that area of our life, I'm going to make a statement that's a really hard statement, but I believe it's true. That's the area of our life where we trust God the least. Because we're still trying to hang on to control. We're still trying to say, God, I don't trust you enough that you can handle this for me, and so I'm going to handle it myself. And if it doesn't go the way that I want it to, then I'm just going to quit and walk away. Or if it doesn't go the way that I want it to, then I'm going to blow my top and I'm going to let everybody know about it. How different would your life and my life look if we trusted God in that area? And we said, God, I don't understand this. This is not easy. But I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to trust you. Because you do a lot better job of being God than I ever could. What's that area in your life this morning? Maybe it's in a relationship. Somebody says, hey, you know what? You don't need to be in that relationship. Well, who do you think you are? And we just blow our top. Maybe it's at a job. We didn't get the promotion that we wanted, and so instead of sticking it out and seeing what God has planned for us, we just, I'm done with this, I quit. Maybe it's in a relationship with Jesus. Things just haven't gone the way that we pictured that they would because somebody told us that once we say yes to Jesus, it's all sunshine and roses and life is easy. But that's not the case. It's difficult. Following Jesus is hard, but it's worth it. What's that for you? What's that area in your life that you trust God the least? That you've been acting out the most? I can't answer that for you. You can't answer that for me. But my prayer this morning is that the Spirit of God would reveal that to each one of us so that we can continue to develop and become who Jesus has called us to be. Let me pray for us this morning. Jesus, thank you that you can be trusted. Lord, thank you that regardless of the chaos that may be swarming around us, God, that you are constant. Thank you, Lord, that even though our natural tendency is to want to quit, walk away, to blow up and lash out at everyone. Father, would you help us not to give in to that natural desire, but instead to lean into what the Spirit wants. Holy Spirit, we ask in this place, I ask in my life, that you would give me the desires that are your desire. That in those difficult moments that I would be able to lean hard into the things that you want. Jesus, would you forgive me where I have allowed my natural tendency to take over? Would you give me the strength to resist those natural desires, those natural tendencies, and instead do what the Spirit is leading? Father, I pray over this congregation this morning. Father, I pray if there's one in this room who's struggling with trusting you in whatever area of their lives, I pray that today would be a day where trust would be renewed and restored. God, I pray that today would be a day of surrender to you and to your plan. Holy Spirit, would you do in this place what only you can do? In Jesus' name, as the band plays, you need prayer for anything at all, I'd invite you to come. Nobody's going to judge you or say anything negative about you. This is an opportunity for you to get alone with Jesus. And I promise you, it's better that way.